Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Chantel for bringing Autumn's story to my attention. According to the Center for Legal Excellence, which is a California-based nonprofit, in the 2008 report, they discovered about 700 children were killed by their parent during divorce or separation in the United States in that one-year period. This is one of those stories. May 2019, Queens, New York. A car comes to an erratic stop in flames with its driver also on fire. A Good Samaritan passing by stopped to help the man, confused as to what was happening. The man stopped the Samaritan to tell him that a small child was still in the car. This is a story of a man whose hatred for his former partner ran so deeply that he took his revenge to tragic levels, resulting in him killing the one person his former partner loved more than anything, their daughter. This is Autumn's story.
Despite Coleman's claims that Pereira was mentally unstable, he was allowed to take Autumn a second weekend. The little girl's mom had braided her hair and recorded her leaving the building.
Look at my moony pie.
2014, Sharon Coleman would meet the man who would change her life forever. Medical assistant Sharon was outside enjoying the sunshine with some friends when she met construction worker Martin Pereira as he was walking by. At first, Martin was the perfect boyfriend. He would take her shopping and spoil her. They would talk on the phone for hours. They were in love. And very quickly, Sharon would become pregnant. However, this pregnancy would unfortunately end in a miscarriage. But then in June 2015, Sharon would fall pregnant again, and she was elated. Her family were excited for her too, especially after the previous pregnancy loss really caused some depression for Sharon. So Sharon's sister arranged this massive baby shower in an event hall. And calling it massive would be an understatement. This was a huge affair. The room was covered in pink fairy lights. It was truly a beautiful occasion, but that wouldn't be all. Martin took the opportunity of both their families being there and the celebratory feeling in the air, and he proposed. Sharon was on cloud nine. She could not be happier. But then, only hours later, her world would fall apart when her father died of a heart attack. By this point, cracks were starting to form in Sharon's and Martin's relationship, and with the death of her father, the wedding was put on hold indefinitely. And this would only place even more strain on the relationship. They couldn't even agree on their soon-to-be-born baby girl's name. Martin wanted to name his daughter Zoe, a name his niece picked out. However, Sharon had her heart set on Autumn. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. School is incredibly important, and I'm a strong advocate of my children getting a great education. However, my kids all have different interests and learn in different ways, and school doesn't always teach towards those interests, and given class sizes, can't always teach towards every learning style. Wouldn't it be great if there was an online platform that caters to these points, one that can be done after school and on weekends? Well, there is with OutSchool. OutSchool is an online learning platform that empowers kids to learn on their own terms, with the widest range of teachers, topics and classes to suit any interest. They offer interactive small group classes that are fun and social, video classes that can be taken anytime, one-on-one tutoring, and clubs that connect learners around their favourite topics. My daughter has just started online learning and she can get bored with some of the more dry topics. OutSchool allows me to add on some other classes that better suit her interests, such as AI, animation and movie making. It really allows her to experiment with her creative side and helps her learn new skills that she wants to turn into a YouTube channel. These small classes really allow for that individual attention in class. If you want to try OutSchool, you can now get up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session for a limited time. This exclusive discount is only available when you go to outschool.com and use code STOLEN at checkout. That's outschool.com and use code STOLEN for up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session on OutSchool. OutSchool. Take charge of their future. Zoe Autumn Pereira was born March 16, 2016, to parents Sharon Coleman and Martin Pereira in Queens, New York. Against the wishes of Sharon, Martin changed their daughter's name on the birth records application, naming her Zoe. From here on through, each parent and their respected family would call her their preferred name. Martin and the Pereiras would call the little girl Zoe, and Sharon and the Colemans would call her by her middle name, Autumn. Now I am torn because this little girl's name is legally Zoe. However, Martin did this with deception, and with what's to come, he shouldn't continue to get his way. So I will refer to Zoe Autumn Pereira by her middle name, Autumn, from here on through. Autumn was obsessed with her mother, and I believe it's more respectful for this girl's memory to refer her to her favourite person's preferred name for her. Another point of contention in the relationship was that Martin was rarely at the apartment the couple shared, spending most of his time at his parents' home in Valley Springs, New York. He was even contributing to their mortgage, causing some financial issues for him and Sharon. Martin wanted to pack everything up and move the three of them in with his parents, but Sharon wouldn't hear of it. They would have no privacy, and besides, they were a family now, and she wanted them to have their own place. But this would mark the beginning of the end for the couple. March 13, 2019. Sharon had had enough, and she returned her engagement ring to Martin. The two would break up. Sharon moved to a one-bedroom apartment in Queens, placing Autumn's little bed next to hers. The mother and daughter would fall asleep every night holding hands. Martin got his way again as far as moving back in with his parents would go. And it seems that Martin immediately started to show concerning behaviours of his spiralling mental health. 2 days later, Martin went to Sharon's mother Denise's home to pick up Autumn for a visitation. Sharon did not want to see Martin. She knew that it would only result in an argument, and she didn't want Autumn exposed to that. So until the whole family court custody process could be finalised, any visitation Martin would have with Autumn, the changeover would be in the presence of Denise. But this first visitation, Martin showed up at Denise's home wearing Sharon's engagement ring, twisting it around and playing with it to make sure Denise saw him wearing it. Maybe as a power play. I really don't know. Personally, I find it strange. Maybe it was for attention so he'd know Denise would tell her daughter about it, which Denise would immediately do after he left with Autumn. Denise would later state the whole encounter unnerved her. The former couple went to Queen's Family Court where they both fought for primary custody. Sharon wanted Martin to be an active and present father for their daughter. Sure, he wasn't the best partner, but he loved Autumn and he was a doting father. But Martin wanted to fight dirty, making accusations against his former partner, saying he thought that she was capable of hurting their daughter. Based on these accusations, a child welfare investigator arrived at Sharon's home to make sure it was clean and safe, that she had enough food, and that she was not on drugs. Autumn was examined by doctors for injuries, but they couldn't find as much as a bruise. Sharon was then ordered to take a drug test, which of course came back negative. Martin was still not happy with that, and he demanded a hair follicle test be carried out. Thankfully, sanity prevailed here, and the courts declined Martin's demands. But still, Sharon was happy to jump through every hoop to prove she was a fit mother to Autumn. Ultimately, in early April 2019, primary custody would be awarded to Sharon with unsupervised weekend visitation to Martin. Almost immediately after this, Martin began to act vindictive and rather unhinged, making Sharon fear for Autumn's safety. Increasingly worried about Martin's aggressive behaviour, Sharon took the day off work on April 23rd to try and persuade the courts to end the weekend visits. Her lawyer was on vacation, so Sharon wrote out the plea herself, using black ink because she thought it looked more professional than blue. Quote, "Father is losing a grip on reality, and I honestly feel like my child is in danger while in his care." Unquote. But the courts didn't see the matter as urgent and adjourned the issue until the June. Sharon would later state she let the weekend visitation go ahead as scheduled because she was worried that if she didn't, it would work against her in the pending custody case. What Sharon could not have known, and I imagine if she did, she wouldn't have sent Autumn. But what Martin never told her and the courts never uncovered in the custody dispute was that Martin had a pretty serious criminal record. October 2013, Martin Pereira was charged with aggravated assault against his ex-girlfriend, a 21-year-old woman who had testified that she feared for her life. In that same year, Martin was also arrested once for criminal contempt and twice for aggravated harassment against two other women. How this man was out walking around and not made to, I don't know, carry a sign saying he was a serial abuser is beyond me. Sharon would later state that she always feared her former partner would kill her, but she never imagined he would do anything to three-year-old Autumn. This weekend was only the second time he'd been entrusted with his daughter since the split with Sharon. And knowing what's to come, Sharon would later say she wished she broke the custody agreement and kept Autumn that weekend. Quote, I should have just kept her and went to jail. Unquote. On this final weekend, Martin was acting more erratic, repeatedly calling and texting Sharon. Early Saturday morning, May 4th, 2019, Martin went to the same salon where Sharon was getting her hair done. He was aggressively demanding to the hairdressers that Autumn have her braids taken out and that she be given a different hairstyle. And then hours later, he took his daughter to the hospital, telling medical staff the three-year-old had been punched in the stomach. However, Autumn wasn't complaining of any pain and there was no evidence of any injury. And since Martin wasn't forthcoming with any more details, and Autumn seemed to be in good health and uninjured, she was released into her father's care and they left. While all of this was happening, Martin was still texting and calling his former partner. In Martin's last call to Sharon, quote, Do I have your attention now, bitch? I got your attention now, bitch. You are never going to see your daughter again. Unquote. This call went on for a while, and Sharon would later state a lot was Martin rambling and she was unable to understand most of what he was saying. Sharon stopped responding to the messages and calls at this point. Now, I guess there is reasonable grounds here for Sharon to take more action. Contact the police and make sure everything was okay. And it's easy to say what we think we would do in this instance and place some blame onto Sharon for her inaction. And honestly, when I was doing my research and writing this script, my first instinct was to really question why didn't Sharon do something more, considering Martin was showing he wasn't coping. However, we also need to consider Sharon's situation. She was trying to not jeopardise the custody case. She was scared of doing the wrong thing and then she would lose all custody of Autumn to Martin. Being in that situation myself, I can definitely empathise with her and her actions here. She was just working within a very broken system. A system that I believe is more at fault here for what ultimately happens to Autumn. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Sunday afternoon, May 5th, 2019. Sharon received a panic phone call from a cousin living in California, and what he would tell her would be chilling. Martin told this cousin that he was going to kill himself and Autumn. Frantically, Sharon contacted Nassau County Police, where Martin lived. She also contacted the NYPD and went down to the 113 precinct when she received a horrifying phone call. It was Martin and he was FaceTiming her. Martin told Sharon to say goodbye to their daughter as she was never going to see her again. On the call, Sharon could see Autumn in the background inside his car, and the car was on fire. Autumn was still strapped to her baby car seat in the back. This sweet little girl had no chance of escape.
Police tape surrounds a charred car with its doors open and windows knocked out. A propane tank sits outside the trunk, the aftermath of a deadly fire last night.
I was inside. I heard a big bomb.
Just before 9 p.m., police were called to the intersection of 154th Street and Baisley Boulevard, where an Audi sedan was up in flames. Roughly 60 firefighters and EMS rushed to the scene to a heartbreaking discovery.
FDNY firefighters extinguished the flames and then discovered an unconscious three-year-old child in the rear seat.
They took the baby out. The baby was badly burned, and the baby went in the police car. I feel sad. Because I have children of my own.
May 5th, 2019, just before 9 p.m, on Baisley Boulevard and 155th Street, only blocks from Sharon's apartment in Queens. Martin's 10 Audi A6 had been doused in gasoline and in flames when it jumped onto the sidewalk. A propane tank in the car's trunk had been set up to feed fuel into the back seat via a tube. A second tank was also later found inside the car. Martin then chained the rear doors of the car together from the inside so that they couldn't be opened from the inside or outside. all in the attempt to prevent first responders from getting to his daughter, and making it all but impossible for Autumn to get out of the car, even if she managed to get out of the car seat in time. Now, in the process of setting his car on fire, Martin went up in flames himself. A man passing by saw the end of this, and not realising exactly what was happening besides seeing a man burning, tried to help, getting Martin out of the car and putting out the flames. But then Martin told this man his baby was still inside the car, so the man called 911. Martin fled, not wanting to get caught. He ran to Baisley Park, a park that held a pond and was only about a few hundred feet from the car. Police would later find him via a piece of his discarded clothing still on fire. Martin had stripped to his underwear and was in the pond. He was arrested and held under police custody at New York Presbyterian Hospital in Manhattan, while he was being treated for burns. All the while, first responders desperately tried to reach Autumn and save the three-year-old from the fiery wreckage. The heat from the fire actually melted the handles on the inside, which released the doors from the chains. And this is how firefighters got to the little girl. Unfortunately, it would be all too late. Autumn was rushed to hospital, barely clinging onto life. However, she was pronounced dead soon after arriving at Jamaica Hospital, her mother Sharon by her side. Three-year-old Autumn Pereira's cause of death was determined to be due to burns and smoke inhalation. Martin Pereira was treated for first and second degree burns on 70% of his body. He was later transferred to Weill Cornell Medical Center. There, he would be charged with murder, arson, and reckless endangerment. But he would never get his day in court due to his serious burn injuries. Injuries which would ultimately kill him. Martin Pereira died in hospital on January 30th, 2020.
So big.
She went to school, she flourished, you know, the days of the week.
Say mwah.
And so loving, like, to me.
Sharon Coleman is surrounded by reminders of her three-year-old daughter and the autumn leaves that represent her middle name. But she can never escape the reality of May 5th, 2019, and the phone call from Autumn's father, Tony Pereira, her estranged fiancé who was calling from his car near Baisley Pond Park.
And when he calls me on video chat, I see a video of my daughter burning in the background. Burning in the background. Like, saw that.
This is the first time Sharon Coleman has told her story on TV. It's the story of a small family's breakdown.
People accuse me of letting people smoke weed in front of her, things like that.
And that wasn't true?
No, that's not true. Nobody's smoking weed in front of my daughter.
After a relationship that started out well between Coleman, a medical assistant, and Pereira, a construction worker from Guyana.
He was really kind. If I needed groceries, he'd take me shopping.
But Coleman later argued with Pereira about his family.
So this is the petition.
And when she broke up with him, she said Pereira showed up screaming at her job.
I went to get an order of protection that same day. I asked for custody and for him to have visitation.
Coleman filed her papers here at family court in Jamaica, Queens. But Pereira tried moving the proceedings to Nassau County, where he was living with relatives, perhaps hoping he'd get a better custody decision there. But the Nassau judge was having none of that.
The court documents show Zoe Autumn Pereira was supposed to have unsupervised alternate weekends with her father. But Coleman sought to modify that, telling the judge Pereira was enraged she'd bought her own car.
I told about him stalking me, and he had prior cases.
Despite Coleman's claims that Pereira was mentally unstable, he was allowed to take Autumn a second weekend. The little girl's mom had braided her hair and recorded her leaving the building.
Look at my moony pie.
And one of his family members took a picture of him taking her hair out, and he sent it to me.
The father made abuse complaints against the mom and repeatedly called her on Sunday, the day before their child support hearing. And then a relative notified Coleman that Pereira was threatening to kill himself.
And I'm like, I think he's burning her. There's a fire. I think he's burning her. After he set himself on fire, he jumped out the car and tried to run into the pond. Left my daughter burning in the car.
Ron Coleman tattooed her back, arm, and neck in tribute to her little girl.
It's an autumn leaf.
Autumn Pereira, one of 19 New York children killed by a parent in a five-year span during custody disputes.
Laws need to be changed. My daughter's story needs to be told.
Say mwah.
The football team at the nearby August Martin High School, which was right near where Autumn was murdered, they honoured the little girl by dedicating their entire season to her, even putting her name on the back of all of their jerseys. There is also an annual vigil held for Autumn, and the entire football team makes the effort to attend every year. Autumn's bed is now a shrine to the little girl, mixing her stuffed animals with tributes from family, friends and complete strangers who are touched by Autumn and Sharon's story. Also there, a white rose from her funeral service, a blanket made from photos of the mother and daughter, and that local high school football team's jersey bearing the number 3, the forever age Autumn will be. Zoe Autumn Pereira would later be described by those who knew and loved her as being too perfect for this world. She was a prankster, and she was really developing this amazing little sense of humour. Autumn was a smart kid. She had just started preschool and knew her days of the week. She wanted to be a princess doctor when she grew up. Her best friend was her mother. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. I also have a Patreon where for as little as $2 a month, not only would you be supporting my podcast, but you will also receive not only this podcast episode early and ad-free, but all of my podcasts, Love to Death, Mysteriously Listed, and Beyond Your Nightmares, as well as one Patreon-exclusive episode a month. If you are interested and able, I will have the link in the show notes. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.